Good morning. Continuing our discussion from yesterday, so we started this week with the Sefer HaChassidim, who said, "Don't build stone houses." We wanted to know why. We had yesterday the Shloha Kodosh, who predates the Sefer HaChassidim, who said that there were two possible reasons. We discussed them both. One thing that he gives is because it shows a sense of permanence in Olam Hazeh, that you're building, you know, strong edifices that last a long time. And it shows that by you, Anika is the Olam Hazeh, rather than thinking about Olam Habo, and that life is temporary.
You know a bit more about Olam Hazeh.
That life is temporary. And the other reason he brought down was because it shows a sense of permanence in Chutz Loretz. It shows a sense almost that one's giving up on living in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore I'm building myself a large, big, permanent edifice in Chutz Loretz. So both of those things were reasons given so far. There's one more reason given, and that's brought down in the Kli Yochar in Devarim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Gimel. Rav Lachem Soivis Ha'or Hazeh, Penu Lachem Sofoino. And the Kli Yochar says as follows. The Kli Yochar lived in Prague, and he was a contemporary of the Shloh, who also lived in Prague. He was born in 1550, died in 1628. So we're talking about 400 years ago he died, almost 400 years ago. And he writes there about the people in Prague. He writes that this is a message that is here for the people who live in Golos amongst the Bnei Esav. And he says, Ve'inin asponozu, he says, Nira Loima. He says, Shem yinso ish ha-yisraeli begolos achel hazeh, eza asloch hazeh ha-shom. A Jew has a little bit of success here in Chutz Loretz. He says, Oz yatminoi v'yatspinoi hakol b'fnei Esav. Hide everything from Esav. Ke'en lecho umo shemiskans b'yisol k'mo Esav. The most jealous of all the nations is Esav, because Esav believes that everything that Yaakov has was stolen from him, because Esav took the brochus from Yitzchok Yaakov took the brochus instead of Esav, and therefore everything that you have is a result of Birchas Yitzchok, and I was supposed to have those brochus, and now you've got success, you're not entitled to it. Ki ledatom, according to them, Hakoil Guzula Biyodom, everything that we have is stolen from them, Mirbirkas Yaakov Avinu. Right? And therefore he says that Yaakov Gozal Haslochas Esav Alidei Ishtadlos, Yaakov planned and by deceit he took the brochas al Kain. Therefore, now when a Yid has Haslocha in Golos, he should hide it from the Bnei Esav. He says, Vezeh Hepech. This is the very opposite of what Jews do in the lands of their enemies. Somebody who has 100, he has beautiful clothes, he has a beautiful house, he has a beautiful car, he lives like a lord. He says, "In this thing of Barabbas bnei Amenu, who hamasavev is kolat lo Hashem etzosnu. This causes anti-Semitism." That's what he writes. This creates all the sorrows that we've had. So we now have three reasons, if you like. We have a Sefer Chassidim that says, "Don't build permanent houses in Chutz Loretz." We now have three reasons. Number one, because it sounds like you're being permanent in Olam Hazeh as against Olam Habo. The second thing is because it sounds like I'm being permanent in Chutz Loretz as against waiting for Mashiach and hoping that Mashiach will come any time and I'll move to Eretz Yisrael, in which case I'll have to leave my house behind. And the final reason is here that we create anti-Semitism by the goyim seeing how well we live. I was in Miami recently, and I was looking in the window of an estate agent, a Jewish estate agent, a Frumme estate agent, actually. I met him in Davening as well. And he had there, well, basically, if you want a three-bedroom apartment facing the sea, you're talking about $5 million plus. But he had there for sale a Metzia, which was a house with, it has 11 bedrooms, and it says 9.25 bathrooms, which I think means 9 complete bathrooms, and what they call a bathroom is a toilet. So presumably there's probably 8 bathrooms plus a toilet, or 9 and a toilet, or whatever it is, yeah? With a swimming pool, with a tennis court, with I don't know how many acres, $50 million.
Cool.
That was the asking price. So the what's called saying that, you know, Baruch Hashem, at the moment, life is good, but
half
who knows?
Half.
Yeah.
The
goyim are not going to be delighted at the fact that we're living so well. That's what the Kleopas said. By the way, you know, we all call him the Kleokor. Yeah, there was a Yekke who was giving a shir, and he quoted the Kleokor, because it's a posuk in Mishli, and there it says Uchli Yekor, so it's really the Chli Yekor. So he told over this vote from the Kleokor, he mentioned it a few times. Afterwards, a chosik came over to him and said, you know, he says the same vote I saw in the Klayuka.
Started the Torahway Northwest London, Friday, Kaf Teves, 9th of January. Rabbi Gary Bazak, Shlita, Parsha theme. This week's Torah was sponsored by founder Reuven Weiniger, Lid Nishmas Sora Bas Noyach Le Asholem. The Ziyat site is tomorrow. Lid Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Do Ben, Shem Mechol Tzvi Itzkovitz Zichrono Livrocho.
Okay, so when we're talking about changes in our avodas Hashem, when we talk about how we flow with time, as it were, I think there's three halakim that kind of define our mood or our attitude at any particular time. There's obviously the circumstances that are going on in the world, yeah, and how the Gedolei HaDor tell us to be misyaches to those circumstances. You know, there might be a time which they tell us there's a bit more time of the Hesoros L'tshuva. They might tell us this time there's a little bit more Hesoros to Torah, and Klal Yisrael adapt according to that. There's obviously the cycle of the year. The cycle of the year creates moods, creates attitudes, creates spiritual potential, creates, you know, opportunities in Ruchnius that are there at particular points in the year. And you know, someone once we don't do Mayadim at the time because tradition. We do Mayadim at the time because there's a koyach to the time, and we interact with those times. There's different koyachs to months. There's different koyachs to. There's a flow of time. There's a flow of the year that we flux with, that we work with in terms of our Avodas Hashem. There's also the parasha, right? In any, it's not just the rabbi doesn't have anything to speak about when he speaks about the bar mitzvah, when he speaks to the bar mitzvah, when he speaks about the parasha. What can I do? I've got to say something about the bar mitzvah boy. I found something in the parasha, punkt. No, it's that we relate to the parasha as the source of our avodas Hashem, as the source of our moods, as the source of our perspective, our awareness, and things like that. I think this is the only time in the year, though, we're entering into a period which has become much more the word I don't want to use the word fashionable, but it's much more fashionable nowadays, shovavim. Right? I think 50, 60 years ago, I don't think many people were talking about shovavim. Right? Chassidim were, but and in the Litvish Olam there wasn't so much of a talk about shovavim. A little bit here and there, but Right. Yeah, that's true. The slichas. Meaning, we know there is shovavim. It was not a made-up concept. There was slichas for many, many years. Kadmoni Achronim already was at the time of slichas, but it's certainly much more well known nowadays. But it's a really a section of time where we're talking about Shmos Va'era Bo B'Shalach Yisrael Mishpatim, really Truma Tetzaveh. That's where it came from. Shovim Tat. But we do shovavim as well. So it's a period of time where we've got a whole mahalach of avodah which comes from our interaction with the parasha, meaning the parashias themselves create the zman that we're in, which is very interesting. It's a different time. So I wanted to have a look at some of the yesodas of that. The achronim tell us that the focus of this time of shovavim is kedushas habris, shmiras habris, shviras hataiva, all these type of things, all these type of inyanim. And obviously, ein lanu esek bin historim. We don't. There's very, very deep things going on here, and it's not really our place to be nichnas into them properly. But we can certainly be misbonen. Now that we know the klolim of what we're talking about, we can be misbonen about what the themes of the parashias are and draw out messages so that can interact with our avoda, so that we can be oved on those things when we're in this period. So I wanted to focus on really. It's really one yesod, but it comes in two parts. The Yesod comes from, if you have to think about kind of the central characters in Yetzias Mitzrayim, in Golus and Geulas Mitzrayim, there's one surprising character who is very, very central, and that is Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, you would have thought that we kind of, within the first, like, we finished Yosef, we're talking about the Shvatim now. He's not one of the Shvatim, he's one of the fathers of the Shvatim, but he's not, and we're talking about kind of continuing away from there now, and the development of Am Yisrael, and moving forward away from there. But there's a real centrality to Yosef. I mean, we see, there's a couple of places you see it. First of all, you see, I mean, the whole of Golus Mitzrayim was effectively revolving around Yosef. Right, meaning he went. There are some who say that the reason why Yosef didn't send message back to his father is because he knew that as soon as he sends message back to his father's going to come down and that's going to start the Golus. I'm not being responsible for starting the Golus. The Ribbono Shel Olam will let me know when the right time to tell him is. I'm not gonna start doing that. But the whole Mechiras Yosef was that which precipitated in Golus Mitzrayim. So he's very central in that way. But if you look at the psukim at the beginning of this week's parasha, there's kind of an overemphasis on Yosef. You start coming out. He's mamash singled out here. Ve'elish mos b'nei Yisrael abayim Mitzrayim. Es Yaakov ishu beso bo. And we list everyone. And then it says, Vayhi kol nefesh yotze Mitzrayim, Yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh, ve'yosef hayah b'Mitzrayim. Oh, hello. Yosef, I mean, he was one of the 70. When we just said, Vayhi kol nefesh yotze Yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh, ve'yosef hayah b'Mitzrayim. Yosef was one of the 70, didn't he? But I'll tell you, Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Okay. Then we have the next bit, which is, it's not Vayamos kol adorahu, it's Vayamos Yosef, v'chol echov, v'chol adorahu. Right? Meaning we single out Yosef again. And this one is even more surprising, this focus on Yosef, because five psukim earlier. Now, five psukim earlier happens to be in Sefer Bereishis, which is true. But if you think about Sefer Torah, it's five psukim earlier, meaning there's a bit of a gap, but it's five psukim earlier. We said, Vayamos Yosef ben Meya ve'es Shanim, and we finish off Sefer Bereishis with the death of Yosef. All of a sudden now, we've got the death of Yosef again. So number one, we single out Yosef from everyone else in that door, right? Vayomas Yosef. And number two, we've got this funny situation that Yosef's Misa is mentioned in two Svarim. It's mentioned in Sefer Bereishis, and it's mentioned in Sefer Shmos. So that's the third, the last place, obviously, that we see Yosef in a central part of the story is by Kriyas Yamsuf. Hayam Ra Vayonos, right? Is the Medrash says Hayam Ra? What did the sea saw? Not like a seesaw, but the sea Hayam Ra. The sea was aware, or whatever, and Vayonos, and it splits. What did it see? Atzmos Yosef, because Yosef was Vayanas Achutza with Asia's Potiphar. So you see, and you see in Parashas B'Shalach, we make sure we go and get the Atzmos Yosef, and it seems to be a very central part of the story. So Rav Huttner really brings this Nakuda out in, and this is really principle number one, which is he brings this out in a powerful way. He says he focuses on the question of why Yosef's Misa is in two Svarim. Why do we repeat Yosef's Misa? We know Yosef was Nifta. We said it three psukim ago, five psukim ago. So why are we focusing on it again? So Rav Huttner says like this. He says, there's a sugya of Avos. The book of Bereishis, Sefer Bereishis, is the book of the Avos. It's talking about Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and their contribution to the creation of the Sefer Yetzirah of Klal Yisrael. And you've got that's the sugya of Avos. They were Moirish things that created the nature of Klal Yisrael. And they gave us different things. They were different. They created Klal Yisrael in different components. Right? We know in terms of the Sifrei Machshava, they talk about the different elements that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov gave us. But Rav Huttner speaks about it in a simple way. He says if you think about it, Avraham was the first person to become a Yid. He was the first person to become. He was the revolutionary, as it were. So that was the revolution part of Klal, the inspired picking yourself up and starting something new. That was, we had to start, Klal Yisrael needs that. Klal Yisrael needs that. And he was Moirish that to us. We have an element of our Avodas Hashem, which is Avramdik, which is, I'm becoming something bigger, I'm a revolutionary. Then you have the sugar of Yitzchak, and what Yitzchak gives to Klal Yisrael. Now Yitzchak is an interesting one in the Avos, because there doesn't seem to be very much said about him in the Torah. First of all, he's the only Av that doesn't have his name changed. Yitzchak is Yitzchak. He never leaves Eretz Yisrael. He stays within the context of Eretz Yisrael. He was, it's a funny thing when you say, no, but I haven't seen anyone directly point this out, but when we talk about Noach, Eila told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik, tamim ayo b'dorosav. So Rashi asks, Eila told us Noach, why did you say Noach? You need to talk about the toldus of Noach. You need to talk about the toldus of Noach. So Rashi says, famously, she'ikka toldoseim shal tzaddikim maisim tovim. Right? The ikka toldoseim, there's another Eila told us in the Torah. Right? When we get to toldus, we say, and toldus is an interesting parasha because just before we get to toldus, in Chai Sora, we talk about we basically close off the story of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, when we get to the beginning of toldus, is still alive. But the Torah is makdim, the death of Avraham Avinu, into Parshas Chai Sora, because it's very clear that you're closing off the life of Avraham Avinu. We close off Yishmael, right? We close off Avraham Avinu with Hagar, he sends the children away. We talk about Mises Avraham Avinu. And then now you think, now we're ready. Now we're going to talk, right, here we go. Yitzchak's going to take center stage. He's the second one of the Avos. The Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avram. Here we go. Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram ho led us Yitzchak. And then there's nothing. And then what happens in the parasha? Vayhi Yitzchak ben Avram shabak. And he had children. And the children have bites and brachos and that. And the whole, there's nothing about, what, there's one story about Yitzchak in the whole, there's one episode about Yitzchak in the whole parasha. He repeats what Avram did. Yitzchak was the continuer. He was the first person to be Kodesh Merechem. He was the first person to maintain Yiddishkeit. He was the first person to be Kodesh Merechem and live with that Gvura where he's holding everything together, where he's not being influenced by, etc. So that was a different part of Klal Yisrael. That was Yitzchak was Modish that to us. Then there's another level, which is Yaakov. And Yaakov was the first one in Klal Yisrael who had Mitoso Shleima, says Rav Huttner. He was the first one that now once, what, we finished the project of the creation of Mishpachas Klal Yisrael now. We finished, this is now, once you are now that Zera, once you are now part of that family, you're Yisrael, that's it. You don't keep Shabbos, you don't daven, you don't eat kosher, you don't, doesn't matter, Yisrael, it does matter obviously, but Yisrael, afal pi shechata, Yisrael, you don't lose your shame Yisrael because you behave not like a Yid. You are a Yid, that's it. That's what Mitoso Shleima means, that now anyone who comes from there, that is Mitoso Shleima. And that was the completion of Klal Yisrael at that point. Klal Yisrael are now the Bnei Yaakov, the Bnei Yisrael. That's what they are. You're Yisrael, afal pi shechata Yisraelu. That's what Rav Huttner says. However, says Rav Huttner, that is the book of the Avos. And that's what we developed during the Avos. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, there's only three Avos. However, there is, as it were, almost like a quasi-Av. Because Yosef also adds something to this story. First of all, you see that because you see that he created Shvatim. You see that Yosef was actually someone who created Shvatim. So there is an element of Av, Av-Hus, as Rav Huttner calls it in his complicated Hebrew. But there is, I think, there's another, Rav Huttner says there's another, there's still, the story hasn't finished yet. Because it's true, Yisrael, afal pi shechata Yisrael hu. It's true you've created Klal Yisrael. But there is an ability to lose your shame Yisrael. Why? Because haba'a kusis, right? Vlada kamoisa. Meaning, there is a pirtza that is still available that you can lose your shame Yisrael. That you can lose that. Who was the one that closed that piritza? The one with the koach to close that piritza was Yosef HaTzadik. Because he was the first one that was engaged, that had to deal with the Nisayon of Abba Al-Kusis, right, with Ashes Potiphar, and he resisted the Nisayon, Vayonos HaChutza, and therefore by doing that, he gives us the koach to close that piritza, to make sure that, if you like, L'dore Doris, there's going to be Klal Yisrael. Meaning, if Bereshis is the book of the Avos, says Rav Huttner, and Shmois is the book of the Bonim, Klal Yisrael that comes from it, the bridge between the two is Yosef HaTzadik. And therefore, how do you create a bridge? It has to touch both sides. So the Pasuk says that he is Even Yisrael. What's an Even? It's an Av and a Ben together. Even is Av and Ben crossed over. So he's Eben Yisrael. He creates. He is the Gesher. He creates the bridge. How? By resisting his Nisayan with Eishes Potiphar. That gives Klal Yisrael the ability to have a Hemshech L'Dori Doros.
Which is the
passage that says Eben Yisrael? It says in the brachos of Yaakov to Yosef. He says, there we go. It's Mem Tes Chaf Dalet, I think. Yeah, no. Okay. Maybe not. Yeah, Mem Tes Chaf Dalet. Yeah. Misham Roya Evan Yisrael, Mem Tes Chaf Dalet. Also in that posuk, we talk about Yosef as Vateshev Be'esan Kashtoi, right? He has the koyach, right? He has a tremendous chozek, right? He's teishev eitan kashto. So I'm not sure who I heard this from. I think it was Ramosha Shapira. He says the loshen eisan, which is the chozek, which is the power of Yosef, is a fascinating word because the letters aleph yud saf nun are all of the letters that do something in Hebrew. They're the only letters that do this. They create the future tense. If you want to say I go, you say Eilech. If you want to say he goes, you say Yelech. If you want to say she goes, you say Telchi. If you want to say we go, you say Nelech. Aleph, Yud, Sof, Nun. So Eitan is the ability to take the present and project it into the future. That is the Koyach, that is the Chozet, that is the Gvura of Yosef HaTzadik, that he has the ability to be the bridge between the Avos and communicate it to the Bonim. Going all the way to the bottom. So he's the bridge between the two. And therefore, says Rav Huttner, when we're talking about Yosef HaTzadik and his story, when we're talking about the essence of Yosef HaTzadik, we have to talk about him in Bereishis and in Shmos. Because the bridge has to touch both sides. So he has to create the bridge between the Avos and the Bonim, and that is Yosef's contribution to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, and with the connection in terms of Shovavim, in terms of Kedushas HaBris, B'chulei, yeah, etc., in those areas, that's now obvious. However, let's take it a stage further. This is where I wanted to come to today, because I think we have to also ask ourselves the following question, which is, but what is the koyach? I know that Yosef HaTzadik has the koyach to be that bridge, and has the koyach to overcome the nisayon of Eishes Potiphar. And has the I know he has that koyach because of everything we just said. But what is it about Yosef HaTzadik? Where does he get that koyach from? Where is he pulling it from? What are the spiritual genes that he has merged to Klal Yisrael that we have the ability to function in that area? So I think this story starts with understanding the nature of the Geula from Mitzrayim and Yosef's chelek in that. So the Maharal points out, it's Rashi already says it. The pasuk says when Moshe realizes that people are talking about him killing the Mitzri, people are talking about he says the pasuk says Vayira Moshe Vayoymar Achei Noida Hadavar. Okay. Rashi brings a medrash, and he says, Rashi says, I've got the Maral version, so it's longer. He says, "Umidrash dag lo al shirai yisrael rishayim dal torin." He saw people in Klal Yisrael who weren't able to keep secrets, who weren't able to keep things hidden, who were spreading lashon hara. Omar me'ata shema einam ruuyim lihigail. Says Rashi, why I'm choshesh that Klal Yisrael aren't going to be able to have Geula. Why? Because they have Dal Torin. Says the Maharal, an unbelievable piece of Maharal. He explains what this Klal is. He says the following. He says, Medrash says Yeshroi Tam Nifla, Ki Mishi Yeshboi Mida Zois Eina Ro'u L'Geula. Somebody who has this Mida of Dal Torin, of things just coming out, secrets being exposed, is not Rai Lugu'ula. Why? Lefi Shahagu'ula hi nem sheches mi madrega pnimis elyona shihi eina begolui. Gu'ula comes from a mokim of pnimius, from a mokim which is inside, literal words. She'eina begolui, it's not revealed. It's a hidden area. Umi shemegale dvarim hefekze. Somebody who is Megale Dvarim, that is supposed to stay inside, is the opposite. Shadovak b'Madrega Tachtoina. He is connecting himself to Madrega Tachtoina, which is the Madrega of Chitzonius, outwardness. V'hinikres Madrega Gluya v'Chitzona. That is a level which is called exposed and outward. Lekach Kasher Ra'al Dal Torim B'Yisrael Amash Shereuim L'Shibud. He saw people being Megale Dvarim, which should have stayed inside. Being Megalisoid, he said, "Oh, maybe Shibud is right for them." Shah Shibud Madrega Tachtoina Varaulahima Shibud is right because they were Baali Rachil, Megalim Soid. This is the Yesod of the Maral. Maral goes further, but this is enough for our purposes. So the Maral says that there's the Geula in Mitzrayim comes from a Mokim of Pnimius, which is a place where you have an internal world, you have an inner world where secrets can stay. You know, when you tell someone, there's certain people in the world who you can tell something and they are never-ending pits. They are a pit that the information that you have told them, which is private information, is completely safe. It's never coming out.
Doctors.
Hopefully therapists. Not sure about the therapists. Okay. But even in general life, I had my mother-in-law, Olive Shalom. We found out stories during the Shiva. There was a Kisharon run. It was a bike ride, sorry. And there was a certain gentleman in the community who should remain unnamed who struggled greatly with the bike ride. And my mother-in-law basically saw him struggling with the bike ride. He was significantly behind everyone else. She had a big van. She said, "Into the van," right? She got him into the van. She drove right. We're talking. 25 years later, not one person in the world until the Shiva knew that story. My father-in-law didn't know the story. The family, if that was me, that would have been all over the news. So I picked him up in the car and I... She was a never end. Why? Because, so Rabbi Brazil taught us the following yesod. He said, you can keep a secret when you have a place to put it. If someone tells you a piece of information and you have an inner world, you have a place to put it. And it can stay there. If you don't have an inner world, then you don't have a place to put it. It will come out. It doesn't have an inner dimension to store it. You don't have that inner depth. What creates that? What creates an inner place? Depth. That's what creates it. Pnimius. This is the secret to Geula, says the Maharal. Agav, when you have Pnimius, Revolver used to say. He brought about a stira. I had this stira from my daughter, actually. My daughter, when she was six, asked this kasha. She said, I was talking about the Rabbeinu Shalom being everywhere. And she went in her... She was Israeli at the time. She went... That's how Israelis speak to their parents. And she was six. And she went, "He's not. He's Avinu Shevashamayim." Now, I knew where she was coming from, because... At that time, the popular song was Anachnu Ma'aminim Bnei Ma'aminim Ve'einara Ela Ela Avinu Avinu Shebashamayim. So she was going around singing that. So she had Avinu Shebashamayim. So I immediately hit back with Uncle Moshe's Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, which she also knew, and thereby creating the paradox between, and therefore by creating the paradox of immanence and transcendence in the Rabbeinu Shalom, which I thought was a great educational tool at that point for the six-year-old. I went to speak to a proper mechanic afterwards, who was like, probably not the best thing to do at this point, to confuse them so thoroughly. But okay, but the Maisa, we have this theory. I mean, we say every Shabbos, Kvodo Male Olam. The Kvod of Hashem fills the world. And at the end of Sefer Shmos, Ukvod Hashem Male Samishkan. What do you mean Male Samishkan? It's Male the world. How can it not be Male the Mishkan? Obviously it's Male the Mishkan. So Revolver said, but it's Male in different ways. There's a different Hagnahoga when you're behind Mechitzas. When you have Pnimius, when you have walls that protect you from exposure, when you have a dimension of Pnimius, there you can feel the Rabbeinu Shalom Begolui. There he can reveal himself properly. And there you have Nisim, you have an open relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's where you connect. That's where you feel the connection. When you're talking on the outside, which is exposed to everyone, you won't feel the Rabbeinu Shalom there. In terms of our Avodas Hashem, that's true. If we base our Avodas Hashem based on what we look like, and based on all the external Maisim that we do, you won't necessarily feel the Rabbeinu Shalom Begolui there, because it's open, it's exposed. Even the facial expressions people are making when they're davening, they won't necessarily, even if they cross their face, it's be'etzem external. So that's not creating any... What's creating the connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam is the inner world that's going on behind all those external ma'asim. So you have the inner and the outer, but you need the inner. If you don't have the inner, if you don't have an inner dimension, that inner dimension of your life, the pnimius, then everything will come out. You won't connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now...
The external comes from the inner.
We could do the external without the inner, though. If you don't have an inner, you can still do, and you still should do the external. Even if you don't feel, you should do. But you need to create the inner. You need to create the premium. So now, who was the master of this? The Bnei Rachel. The Bnei Rachel, the Bechor of which was Yosef, right? Yosef. I saw a targum that Yosef says that when we talk about the brachas for Yosef again, the targum says. The Nevuah, the Tavos behind Nevuah say about Yosef Atzadik, Al Dekayim Oiraisa, the Sisra. He learned Torah secretly in Mitzrayim. That was his koyach. Yosef, they were called Baalei Mistoirin, the Medrash calls them. They were people who were able to be not Megale Soid. Who were the Bnei Rachel? Esther Amalka was Bnei Rachel. Binyamin was Bnei Rachel. These were the people who were the Bnei Rachel. They had the ability, they had the koyach. That what's called in what Chazal call the Pelech Shtika, yeah, or the Plach Shtika, right? They had the ability. They have that inner dimension. They have that. They have that sneus. They have that ability to. He was. Where was Yosef Mekadesh Shem Shamayim? Yehuda was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim outwardly, but Farhesia, in a Beis Din, he said he was Moed Al Ames. Yosef. No one knew about Yosef's Kiddush Shem Shamayim. The only person who knew about Yosef's Kiddush Shem Shamayim was Yosef. That's it. Completely hidden. No one knew about his greatness. Who is the opposite of this? Paro. Paro, the word means parua, means exposed. Right? He is a peh ra. Right? Which means that which comes out is bad. He's a peh ra. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael for that Geula. What did we do? Chazal say they saw he was when he was born, the Or was Memale, the Bayis. Yeah, inside. What did they do therefore? They hid him. Well, obviously it's not because of the Or that they hid him. Of course they hide him. Why would you not hide him? You're gonna try to keep your child alive? Yeah, you hide him. But the point is because they saw the Or, Chazal tell us that the Or that they saw was the Or Hagonos, which is an Or which is hidden, which is behind things. So Moshe had the ability, so he was hidden. This is the place where this koyach comes from, where this koyach of Geula comes from, has to come from Pnimius. I think, in terms of relating it to the first episode that we said, that Yosef has the ability to overcome the Nisayan of Eishes Potiphar, overcome the draws. The if you like, as a moshel, the outside world pulling us towards it, the only way you can really fight that is if you nurture your pnimius. You can put all of the boundaries up you want in the world, right? And Rahman al-Islam, we've got all types of problems in terms of devices and things like that. And we need to put up as many boundaries as we can. But at the end of the day, those boundaries will never ever stop anyone who is Nimshach. It won't. Because they'll find ways around the boundaries. You can put more boundaries, and we need to put boundaries. I'm all posher. But we need to nurture Pnimius. And if we're nurturing the Pnimius, that's the Kirch of Yosef HaTzadik. That's the Kirch. Only from a developed Pnimius, from a developed engagement in Pnimius, only from there can you draw the power to overcome the pull of Chitzonius. It's only if you have Pnimius, if you have that Makom Pnimius, and Be'ezras Hashem, through that we'll be able to be Zoche to the Geula. That's what the Maharal says. That the Geula is going to come from that Makom of Pnimius. So Be'ezras Hashem, we should be, especially during the weeks of Shovavim, we should be able to connect to that area of our lives and to nurture the Pnimius that we have.
This Hamur and the solution are also bound together. That's why he said to him, Hello, I'm Shemur.
Yeah. This week said we start Shmois, beide Shmois bei Sura Bue mit Saimu.
Yankee, das ist das Wort wegen Winston, ne?
Was?
Das ist der Mann wegen Winston.
Ja.
One of our old standing members here in Torah Way always had a smile on his face, and unfortunately, no longer with us, Winston Gilbert, malestigen Geneiden, for all of us. Yeah, last night, unfortunately, to sit at the back, was part of the Chavraya Kedisha, and he is Zichroi Burech. So, there is a Medrash, a famous one, which speaks about the sheep and the shepherd. That Moshe Rabbeinu was designated to become a leader of Klal Yisrael, and there's a lot that's spoken about the qualities of leadership altogether. And this week said where a Jewish king, Jewish leader, excels in areas. But the Medrash, which is not mentioned actually directly, but we know that he was looking after Tzoyin Yisrael in Midian, and there were hundreds of sheep. And one sheep apparently straight went off on its own, went quite a distance away from the rest of them. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching from above to see qualities Moshe Rabbeinu, who left the rest of the sheep. And he ran after this little one, was there miles away. When he finally got to the sheep, he picks up the little sheep, puts it on his shoulder, drags him back and looks after him, tends to him. And apparently the Medrash says that the Eibush says these are the qualities of a Manig Yisrael, somebody who is able to see a weak sheep there straying. The story that I wanted to, which was used as an analogy to all this, was once with Rav Steinman. And there was a man who had a family of children, and unfortunately, as can happen, as unfortunately too often these days, when one child goes OTD, off the derech, and comes home, different dress style, different lifestyle, different hairstyle, vechile, and also different preferences in their music. And this child, of course, being amongst all the rest of them, to the eyes of his father and his mother, were dragging down the rest, and his effects were permeating the household. He went to Rav Steinman, and he, with tears in his eyes, he told him, Rebbe, halt nicht aus, I can't anymore. This child is bringing down the rest and is reducing our home to ash and ruins and wreck. I have to get rid of this child, but I want to speak to the Rebbe, to the Ruf, to Rosh Hashiva, to quantify whether this is the right thing to do. Steinman looks down, doesn't answer him. Carries on, Steinman still doesn't answer him. So he says, Hashiva, I'm asking a question. What am I supposed to do? So the Hashiva picked his eyes up. He says to him, how many other children you have at home? He says, 8. He says, are they robust? Are they healthy? Are they well? Yes. Emotionally? I think you should take all the 8 out of the house and distribute them to other homes and other families, and spend all your time and all your life looking after the one child and keep him at home and nobody else. He looks in. And then apparently Rav Steinman mentioned that you could ask a question. Moshe Rabbeinu left 300 or 400 odd sheep in a flock and went off on tangent to rescue one sheep. It's complete negligence. You're a shepherd, you got a whole flock over there, and this is what you do. You leave hundreds of sheep and you go off to find the one sheep. What's happened to the rest of them? So he says, because Moshe Rabbeinu understood that the rest of the sheep will support each other. They have each other. They're congregated. They're united. They have a community. They have the oilam of the sheep. And one sheep will look after the other sheep. And they're all together against predators, whatever it may be. That one sheep, the black one, that went off far away. And he's on his own. That's the one that Moshe Rabbeinu went after. Because he's vulnerable. And therefore, you saw the qualities of leadership at a very, very, very early age from Moshe Rabbeinu just through this story. And therefore, Rav Steinman took the stand that this is how it should be applicable also in logic to this man and his family. Quick one. Alright, so I said, no. There was actually this is also a thought which I'm sharing. I haven't seen it elsewhere, but the Rebbeinu Shlom gave Moshe Rabbeinu three signs. What were the three signs? He says to him, go to the sky and go and show them three things. Number one, take a stick, throw it on the ground, it's going to become a snake. Then put your take it out and you'll show them it became leprous. And third, if this doesn't work, I don't want to go through the psik, it won't take much too long. You pour the water onto the ground and the water will turn to blood. And then he finishes, he says to him, now the third one was never shown in the first instance, which means the pouring of the water onto the ground never happened. But the first two were there. This is what he showed the sky. Took the staff, he threw it in front of them, became a snake. And the other one, the hand became leprous. This was actually happened. The question is, why did I wish to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know something, if they won't believe lesson number one, they'll learn lesson number two. What is it about lesson number two that is so much more wondrous than lesson number one? Have you been in the habit of going to see sticks that turn into serpents and into snakes? I haven't seen such sticks in a long time. And people's hands become leprous, so therefore... So, the analogy would be, in this day and age, you have a class, 30, 40 children, and you have a teacher, and an astute pupil in the middle of the class picks up a hand and asks a really good question. No, the young teacher is flummoxed and taken off balance, and they've got two choices. One, which is probably the more fashionable one, which is to waffle and bluff some sort of an excuse for an answer so that you present that you are infallible and that you know it all, and that you're going to convince the pupils that you have an answer for everything, because this is driven by perfectionism. On the other hand, you might have a more mature and secure teacher who will say to the pupils or to the girl in question, you know, that's a really good question. I don't know, but I will check and I'll get back to you. And then all the children in the class smile. They've created a bond of trust because the second one shows the children, I'm not perfect. I'm vulnerable. I can not know it all and still be a teacher. It's perfectly okay. Now Rashi says, "V'hemini lekoil hu oisu achroin," is because the second sign which the Rebbeinu Shlom told him to give was putting his hands into his garment. He put his hand in and he brought his hand out and showed, I am leprous.
So it's true, Taka, that the snake was also Meramez on Dalteren, on Lushan Hora. But this was something that happened to Moshe Rabbeinu on his body. And therefore, he was saying to them, you know something? There's a reason why the Rabbein Shalom smit me with leprosy. Because I said about Klal Yisrael that they are not ruhi to be taken out of Mitzrayim. For whatever reasons they may be, they are really perhaps not suitable as a nation to be taken out of Mitzrayim. And for that, the Rabbein Shalom says, you spoke Lushan Hora about my children. You spoke Lushan Hora about them. And therefore, when he took his hand out, he was Metzuruas Kashelek, white with leprosy. And therefore, he's showing the Skynim and Klal Yisrael. This is what happened to me as a result of my fallibility, of my shortcoming, because I shared Lushan Hora about you to the Rabbein Shalom. That is an element of vulnerability. That shows a position where Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them, yes, I too have the chesubon that I shared Lushan Hora about Klal Yisrael, and therefore I will gain far more credibility amongst the Skynim than with the first ois, which was the ois of the snake and the stick. Chaps.
Very nice.
The one son from the house and keep it. Oh, yeah. No, throw out the other eight and keep the one.
Okay, Ronnie, I've got the...
Moshe, can you set up?